I was just sitting up here thinking about Sister Erica's testimony about being thankful for the truth. I'm 19 years old, and I've had the Holy Ghost for 14 years. And, I mean, I've been through little things and probably not near what the adults have been through. But, you know, there were struggles in my life, my teenage years. You know, they got rough a little bit around the edges. But there wasn't one time that God didn't pull me straight out of that. He either sent a friend or he. One night I was sitting there praying, and I was like, God, I need you. I need to feel you right now. And I felt his arms wrap around me. There's not been one time where he's let me down. There's not been one time where he's failed me. And I just want to give him my all. And we really do love you, Jesus. So faithful, not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me to supply my every need. You were there when I was lonely. You were there through all my pain, and guiding my footsteps, shelter from.
appreciate what God's doing in the house and among his people. And hasn't he been good to us? Praise God. Psalms 105, and we'll start in verse 1. Would you say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abram, and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Come on, high praise. Lift up your voice. Give him praise for his word forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you, O God. Lift you up and thank you for your word, for the privilege of handling your word in the house tonight. Praise God. Isn't God good? Praise God. I rejoice at what he's doing in our lives. I praise him for the revelation of his word and the good work that he's doing in this city. I believe truly the best is yet to come and that God has some awesome things in store for you and for your household. Now, in this psalm, there is an admonishment to the people of God to lay claim to the promise of God in their lives. There's an admonishment to participate actively in the word of God and in the promise of God. There is a calling for the people of God to rejoice and to enjoy what God is doing in their lives and what he's pledged himself to do by covenant and by promise. There is an admonishing voice here that says you, if you are the people of God, you ought to seize the right and lay claim to what God has made available and has promised to his people. Praise God. Now that's what we just read. An admonishment to give thanks, to sing to him, to sing psalms, to glory in his name, to rejoice in your heart. If you're seeking God, to seek his face, remember his works, testify about it, and tell everybody that you come in contact with what a great God you serve. Psalms 105 is a testimony to God's faithfulness to Israel. Psalms 106 is a testimony to Israel's unfaithfulness to God. And they follow one on the heels of the other, and this concludes this book of the Psalms, and we'll be getting into the last book of the Psalms here in a little bit. But it is very, very clear, if you're a student of the Word of God, you've been around for any time at all, a cursory glance at the Word of God will shout at us that it is clearly possible to live beneath the promise of God. It's possible to have powerful promises in your life and not take advantage of them. It's possible to live under the brooding presence of God and not actualize what God has promised to you by covenant. It's amazingly easy to fault Israel. Their failure is so glaringly obvious in the Word of God. And they live beneath the promise of God. And it's astounding to us to watch them. They have the fire of God above them during the night. During the day, the cloud of God is a pillar in their midst. He opened up the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. He pounded Egypt and Pharaoh for their sake. He poured out plagues on Egypt and kept his hand over Goshen, and they were safe and protected there, and yet they failed God. They had manna every morning. They had water from a rock, and he brought them to Sinai and shook the mountain with his presence and gave them everything they needed to come into the presence of God, gave them a system by which a man, a sinful, fallen descendant of Adam, could walk into the Shekinah glory of God, and man could participate in the glory of God. Yet they failed him. And in their failure, they walked beneath the very cloud, the brooding presence of God. And every day they filled their mouth with miracles and still did not lay claim to the promise of God. And so it's obvious in the Word of God about Israel's failure, and it's obvious how they failed, and it's even obvious why they failed, and the areas wherein they transgressed the Word of God. And I'm amazed when I watch them, how powerful the promise is, and how they live like homeless people sleeping under a bridge under the promise of God. How they live like somebody that has no knowledge of God. And they fail God. But 1,500 years after Israel's wandering, and 1,000 years after the psalmist spoke these words that we've handled tonight, Paul addresses a Gentile church in a city or in a region called Galatia. Paul addresses a church that is chasing what Paul calls the beggarly elements of the world. And they, by virtue of their attraction to the world, which is very similar, although removed by a millennial and a half, is very like Israel's betrayal of the promise of God in Israel's life. But they're pursuing this church at Galatia, the things of the world and not the promise of God. And the more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. And it's easy for us to look at Israel and they failed. They are the children of Abraham, but they didn't appropriate the promise. Look at them living under the cloud and under the glory, and they're unhappy, and they're murmuring, and they're complaining. They're complaining over the little baubles of the world around them and little inconveniences and things that they see in the world around them that they won't. And all the while, the majesty of God is hovering above them, ready by promise to pour out his glory and his grace and his power and his promise and his anointing upon their lives. They live like brooding creatures that have no idea that there's a God in the heavens. And they are the children of promise. Praise God. Paul tells them, Galatians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 6. Even as Abram believed God, and it was accounted him to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Everybody say, they that are of faith. The same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God was talking about us. We're blessed in faithful Abraham. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you have faith tonight, say, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, you couldn't sell anything with that face. You need to look at somebody and sell this idea. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Maybe we ought to just go fold up and go on over to the party here. Isn't it amazing, Brother Warren? My God. And I'm not trying to do anything to you or elicit a specific response, but you ought to be a lot more excited about this than you are. But this is how it is, you see. This is how it is. You live in America, and you get up every day. I live in America. And there's some kid walking through 111 degrees to cross the Rio Grande to get in here and to touch what you have at your disposal every day. There's somebody making a boat out of a 54 Dodge in Cuba, and he's going to raft that Dodge across the straits and try to get into Florida and find and touch the American dream. But there's Americans here that are murmuring and complaining, griping, and unhappy that they live here. And there's billions of people all around the earth who say, please, if you're not happy there, let me take your place. Please, if you don't want to be there, let me come and take your place. I'll guarantee you, I won't ever complain. I'll guarantee you, God, if you'll let me get to America, I won't ever be found complaining. Now, what I'm talking about right here is real and true and powerful. But what we're dealing with in this biblical profile is far-reaching, beyond and above that. There are people that are heirs of the promise of God, and depression and murmuring and complaining and looking down instead of looking up. My God, by faith, I'm in league with faithful Abraham. Whoa. Wake up in the morning. Not only am I glad I'm living in the United States, but I wake up in the morning and I'm glad I'm serving the one that put the stars in their place. I'm serving the one who put the sun in its orbit. I'm serving the one that hung the earth out on nothing and told it to stay there. And he's my daddy. And he's my helper, and he's my friend, and he's determined he'll be my deliverer, and he's on my side, and he wants to do me good. And if God is for me, who can be against me? My God, that's enough to give you a charge in the morning. That's enough to lift your spirits. That's enough to put a smile on your face. Now, you may come and try to trouble me, but I just got to tell you, you don't carry enough trouble to trouble my victory away. You don't carry enough freight to give me a negative in the middle of my day with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Paul's just telling these folks, you're living beneath the promise. Beggarly elements on their mind. Things are troubling them. Verse 13 in Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us. Hey, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for me. And it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. God just stuck that away, squirreled it away in the book of Deuteronomy, so that when they hung him on a tree, he could resolve the conundrum of our Savior both being clean and holy and pure and sinless, and having the curse of all mankind come upon him. That's a conundrum, because the curse comes because of sin. But he hadn't sinned. But God stuck it back there in Deuteronomy and said, cursed is everyone that's hung on a tree. And implicit in that is the fact that even an innocent man, even a holy man hung on a tree, has a curse come upon him. So when they nailed Jesus to that tree, the curse came down and tried to lay claim to him. But all he got more than he bargained for. When he laid hold of him, he couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Grave couldn't hold him. Because what was in him was bigger than all of those things. My God, we've got a promise in this house tonight. We've got a promise in the Word tonight. We've got a covenant with the King tonight. Would you say he was cursed for me? verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Shake your neighbor and say, we be Gentiles. Unless you're Jewish in the house tonight, and I've missed you, but for the most of us, we're all Gentiles. And so the blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That we say that I might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, my, what a promise has come down upon us tonight. Paul said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. He said, this thing's set in stone. You can't change it. Devil can't change it. Hell can't change it. People can't change it. It's already written and stamped and sealed by God. This thing was settled long ago. Before you were born, God had made a way for you. Before you were born, God had your contract ready. Before you breathed your first breath, God already had a promise for you. My God, God was excited about it. God was anxious for it. God was happy about it. My God, no wonder there was an angelic choir singing when that Christ child was born. God was saying, this is it, this is it. All of heaven was saying, this is it. I'm going to redeem these folks and they're going to live by the promise of God. Praise God. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. And Paul explains the theology here. He said that seed is Christ. Amen. And so Christ is the seed, not seeds, plural. So then the implication is that anything that is in Christ is Abraham. And is the seed of Abraham. And is an heir with Abraham, and shares the promise of Abraham. And this I say, verse 17, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. He said this thing was not. A lot of people look at the promises of God or something that God said, and they say, well, that was under the law. Paul said, don't even talk to me about that. He said this was before the law. This predates the law. And he said, watch this. The law can't disannul what God has already promised. I feel an inordinate measure of Holy Ghost moving in this house right now. God wants to take this church somewhere it hadn't walked in yet. He wants to talk to us about some things that he's never talked to us about yet. My God, I feel the dawning of a new season in the house of God. You can embrace that promise if you want to. Or you can sit down if you want to. You can do whatever you want to with it. But I'll tell you, God's going to have somebody in the promise. God's going to have somebody that walks it. God's going to have somebody. If it's a rock, he's going to have somebody praising him. Praise God. This I say. He said, even the years and the law can't make the promise of none effect. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing can touch the promise. It's already settled. It's already done. It's already signed and sealed and delivered. It's already made. The provision's already there. As I look through the Word of God, it was established before the foundations of the earth. God's a great planner. Praise God. God, before you ever breathed your breath, he already had the answer for what's bugging you right now. For what's troubling you and pressuring you right now, God already has it, the answer to it in his storehouse. Already got it. Already got it. It's got a date on it. It's got your name on it. It's got purpose and promise stamped all over it. Nothing can touch that. Praise God. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. It wasn't the law that said if you can jump this high, you can get it. If you can run this fast, you can have it. If you can achieve this level of whatever I'm looking for, then it was just a promise. It was a promise that's not performance-based. Now, that's risky business right there. But grace is an awesome and a powerful thing. And there's not one good, not one among us. There's not one deserving among us. Isn't it awful that the devil can come and lie to you and tell you you're too pitiful to have the promise? That he can come and tell you you failed too miserably to ever achieve the promise or embrace the promise? But the word of God said this thing didn't come by the law. This thing came by promise. God's already said, I promise it. God never goes back on his word. Praise God. Verse 26. Still in the third chapter. Everybody say, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Tell your neighbor, you put him on when you get baptized in his name. The flip side of that is if you hadn't been baptized in his name, you hadn't put him on. You need to put on Christ. Because there's a ton of blessing and promise. Life itself comes from putting on Christ. Verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and would you say, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My God, the same promise that he made to Israel, he's made to his church. The same promise. He said, I'm going to give you the land. He said, I'm going to be with you. He said, you're going to have kings and you're going to have princes come up out of you. He said, I'm going to walk with you, anoint you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to be your God. My God, I'm not a Jew. My daddy nor my mama was a Jew, but God's opened up the door to a Gentile, and he's told me that I can have the same promise that he made to Abraham. My God, praise God. Chapter 4, same letter to the same crowd. Verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, Abba's not like daddy. Abba's more like da-da. It's not some rich, deep theological term. It's like a little baby that goes, praise God, we've been adopted into this thing. And he has chosen us as sons of God. Verse 7, would you say, wherefore, I am no more a servant, but a son. I understand the implication, girls, but get on board here. Say, I'm no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise God. We've got the papers, son. We're in the family of God. We've got the promise of God. God has looked down on us with grace and mercy, and can't nobody take away what God has purposed for his people. My God. Praise God. Paul told these guys, he said, you're living like a bunch of Gentiles without a promise. You're chasing the beggarly things of the world. You're not appropriating the promise. You're not laying claim to the promise. You're not actively participating in the promise. You're not rejoicing and enjoying the promise of God. You're not seizing the right that God has made available to you. I'm telling you what Paul said to the church at Galatia. But my God, I want to perk up and listen to what he's saying. I don't want to be like that church at Galatia. I don't want to be so encumbered with the minutiae of this world and the day-to-day humdrum and the pressures of this world that I forget that there's manna every morning and there's water from the rock and there's fire by night and there's cloud by day, and I can go into the Holy of Holies and be a man in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Could you just love him for a little bit here? Could you just praise him? Come on, free time to praise God. Free time to worship God. However you want. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When your eyes open in the morning, you ought not be thinking about all the trouble. What ought to come up out of your heart is, I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It doesn't matter what's in the mailbox. It doesn't matter what's on the job. I'm a child of God, and I've got my daddy's promise in my life. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Could we give him high praise? Could we just give him high praise? Yeah! Yeah! Praise God. My God, this is so sweet to me. You don't know how sweet this is to me. I've been through enough dead churches in the last 2 weeks to give you heebie-jeebies and a permanent case of the nightmares. And my God, they got torture chambers in them. They're full of dead men and bones and graves, and they're thousands of years old, and there's nobody praising. And I mean, it makes you want to walk through. So suddenly I walk through those places talking in tongues. I got my home movies right here. You want to see? Praise God. I want to give you some snapshots of the kingdom of God. Not home movies. They were having a dignified supper. And they had the great teacher there. And everybody was feeling good about it. The disciples were with him, and so they were the group, and they were feeling good about it. And they had their preeminent place. And all the people of the city were feeling good about it because this was at his time of great popularity. He was about to die, but he was very popular at the time. It's what happens when you get real popular. I'm going to kill you. And in comes a lady. And she's got a little alabaster box. And it just says, money, value, precious. And she walks up to him and doesn't say hey or anything to anybody. And I don't know how she went about breaking the alabaster box, like an egg in the kitchen, or what she did. But without a lot of formal ceremony, she let a small fortune of precious ointment flow down all over him. She said, Jesus is in town. And she said, I'm going to do something extravagant. I'm going to do something wild. And it upset everybody in the house but Jesus. It upset the disciples. It's like somebody coming in here and out worshiping you.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Who do they think they are? Do they have their card? Their worshiper's card? Are they in the union here? Are they a Pentecostal? Can they do that? Can they do that? That question's been going on all through the Word of God. When the 70 were anointed under Moses, and the two ran off into the camp prophesying, Joshua was like, can they do that? Is that allowed? She did something extravagant. She came into the presence of God and said, I'm not going to sit here at some goofy supper. I'm not going to come in here and act all dignified with these folks. I'm not interested in what they think about me. I want to do something for him. I'm just giving you a snapshot of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is rich and extraordinary and powerful and full of good things. The kingdom of God is like a party. When, now, who is that mule in Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore. You can't convince me you got the Holy Ghost and you're acting like Eeyore is your hero. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Eeyore comes to church. But the kingdom of God's like a party. The first miracle that Jesus ever did was in a little town called Cana. And Mary said, "Son, they're out of wine." And he said, "Get those servants, get those jugs in here." I mean, he's breaking everything. He's destroying the protocol and the rules and everything else. But it's that miracle where he turns the water into wine. If you do the math in it, he made a gallon of wine for everybody in that little town. God is in favor of the kingdom being like a party. It's not like a funeral. It's not like some dirge. I'm going to upset some sensibilities if I'm not careful. Can I suggest to you that it is right for you to crucify your flesh, but not your spirit? It's the flesh that gets crucified, but to hear it from some folks or meet some folks, you would think that's all there was to them. I'm living a crucified life, and I'm not happy about it. And I don't want all that shouting and running and dancing and leaping and smiling. And what are you so positive about anyway? Don't you know we're crucified with Christ? And it hurts and it's a drag and I'm carrying my cross and this is a miserable existence. You're not getting it. The kingdom of God is about crucifying your flesh, but being born again in your spirit. That just means your flesh is not in control. That doesn't mean you walk around on your lip all day, down in the dumps. Don't you understand? You're living beneath your promise. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's peace. Sleep like a baby. It's joy. I'm happy. I got a happy going. You can't stop. Hell can't stop it. You can't stop it. Why are you happy? I'm happy because God made a promise to me, and nobody can take that away. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I'm happy with God. Are you happy with God? Tell a few people about it. Do you have joy in your life? Tell a few people about it. Are you glad you're in the kingdom? Tell a few people about it. Brother Sutton, you don't know what I'm going through. Don't let it be bigger than God. That was their problem. They were going through a wilderness. They decided to live there for 40 years. He was bringing them to promise. Well, they were so full of the mully grubs, they contaminated everything they touched. You ought to be enjoying this. You ought to be enjoying living for God. You ought to wake up in the morning enjoying the beauty of another day. 30 degrees and raining. What a day. 105 and dying from the heat. What a beautiful day. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get on the right side of this. Every day is a good day. Every day is a winning day. Every day is a great day in the kingdom of God. We got a promise from God. It comes all the way down from Abraham. I don't want to live beneath the promise. I thank God for the manna. Give me yours if you don't want it. I thank God for water from a rock. You don't want it, you drink a Coke. Give me that living water. I thank God he's a tower of fire and a tower of cloud. I thank God for the privilege of going into his presence. I thank God for the Holy Ghost I feel in this house right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's do a fill in the blank quiz. It is joy and full of. That's the kingdom of God. It's unspeakable joy. Sister Bonnie, can you give me a bar of. It gives me joy when I think about what he's done for me. Don't stop.
I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me.
When you do you get joy when you think about the bills? The proposition is think more about God than you do about the other stuff. Now you try it. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, it gives me joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Tell your neighbor, you can't tell it like I can. What he's done for me. My God, has he done anything for anybody in this house? Is anybody a stamped and certified USDA member of the kingdom of God with promise? I got trouble, but I got a promise bigger than my trouble. I've been through some hard times, but none of those hard times had been bigger than my promise. We've lived in some lean years, but that leanness can't take away the fatness of the promise of God. Kingdom of God is a party. The kingdom of God is joy. The kingdom of God is peace. Full of glory. Praise God. Now's the time I need some help. Help me. Sister Bonnie, would you come and help? I don't need the whole praise group. I just need a little bit of that. I'm not firing you or anything. Just take a break. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, my flesh is crucified. But my joy is rolling. Tell somebody, I got my life on an altar. But I got the Holy Ghost that won't quit. Tell somebody, I got joy like a river running in my soul. Turn to somebody else. Say, I got joy like a river. And it's running in my soul. Yeah. Come on now. Did anybody read it? Jesus said it's going to be within you a river of living water. Yeah. A well springing up into everlasting life. Woo. Yeah. Now, is that in the Word of God? Come on now. You tell me God's a liar. I'm going to tell you, let God be true. Yeah. And every man is a liar. Yeah. There's joy in this thing.
Joy.
There's life in this thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to finish this. I guess because there's no end to it. But I want to suggest to you that Israel blew it and is yet blowing it today. That the church at Galatia blew it. And Paul was trying to pull them out of that encroaching worldliness and lack of joy. Trying to pull them out. Praise God. I want both of those examples to be a caution to my soul. Because I don't want to live this without joy. I don't think I can. I don't want to be a part of this without joy and fullness of glory. Well, praise God. If this church gets dead and dull and dry and plucked up by the roots, I'm going to be the first one to say, run for your life. Take your family. Find a place that's got some joy. A place that's got some life in it.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, shake the walls down in this house.
Yes.
Sunday morning, shake the cobwebs out of every visitor's head.
Hallelujah.
The parable goes like this. It's the parable of the wedding feast. The king was having a wedding feast for his son. And if you were in Bible study with me by now, by that parable, you would understand the application. And I would say, who is the king? And you would say, God is the king. And I would say, who is the son? And you would say, the Christ is the son. Because by that time, we've already done 411 parables. We do them for weeks at a time. By the time we get there, you're an expert in parables. And you're giving me answers. One right after the other. And he invited a whole card of guests to come to the marriage feast. And one said, married a wife. And another said, I've got a team of oxen. And another, they all had something else to do. And they would not come to the marriage feast. They wouldn't come to the party. That was just it. They were too tied up and tangled up in the day-to-day stuff. And God said, come to my party. And they wouldn't come. And God said, choke them. He said, I want you to go. Those other fellas wouldn't come. I want you to go out into the highways and the byways. And I want you to find blind folks and lame folks and halt people. They might not be perfect physical specimens. They might not be high rollers from Silk Stocking Hill. They might not be people that are in who's who. But those wouldn't come. I want you to find somebody. All they got to have for credentials is they're willing to come and they're breathing. So they started bringing them in. They brought in all kind of diseased people and miserable folks and folks with all kind of problems. And they all came in and they sat down at the feast and they started eating. And the Bible said the feast was filled with guests. Praise God. Guess what we're doing here tonight? Guess what this is tonight? This is the marriage feast. This is the marriage supper. You say, well, I thought that was in heaven. No, you read on. There's a guy in there that doesn't have a garment on. And they take him and kick him out. That can't happen in heaven. So you're talking about the church age. And the fact that the church age is a feast and a party, and we're sitting at his table and celebrating the marriage of the Son of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Now, the Jews didn't want to come, and Galatia wasn't really excited about it, but I've got an admonition for you tonight. Why don't we crash the party?
Yay!
Why don't
Hallelujah.
We crash the party? It was designed for the Jews, but why don't we go?
Yeah.
It was given to others long ago.
Hallelujah.
But why don't we go? I'm going to make my way in.
Yeah.
My God, I wasn't raised in this. I wasn't raised anywhere around this. When I came into this, I looked like a long-haired, freaked-out hippie. But now my wife, she was very respectable and attractive. But God made me a promise.
Yeah.
And tonight, I'm just going to tell you, Sister Bonnie, I'm not going to put up with dead church.
Right.
We're going to crash the party. We're not going to put up with dull religious monotony.
Yeah.
But we're going to crash the party. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell you again because that's what preachers do. Napoleon's on his charger, his war horse. It's cold and the streets are icy. And that horse gets a thing on his mind and just takes off running. And Napoleon can't stop him because he's a little bitty guy. And one of the infantrymen stepped out of the ranks and pulled that war horse down. Stopped him dead in his tracks. And Napoleon said, "Thank you, my lieutenant." Well, he's not in a lieutenant's clothes. He doesn't have anything on his shoulders and no medals across here. He's just an old bedraggled infantryman. Probably a mess. But he looks over at the officer's tent, hitches up his britches and straightens himself up, walks right in to the officer's mess. And they said, "And what are you doing here?" And he said, "I too am an officer." That's about as good as my French gets. They had him by the arms. They were dragging him out. He was about to get shot. And the Emperor Napoleon comes up and says, "What's the problem, my lieutenant?" They dropped him like a hot rock. He was crashing their party because the king said he could. He didn't look like he belonged, but the king said he did. He didn't have the credentials, but the king said he could come in. My God, tonight, I want somebody to lay claim to the promise. I want somebody to appropriate the promise to your life. I want somebody to reach up and get a hold of the joy. My God, can we come down around the altar tonight?
Yeah.
Touch somebody on your way and say, "I'm going to crash the party." Come on. It was meant for the Jews. They have this all through their history. But we're learning how to dance the Pentecostal shuffle. Come on. Somebody get a hold of some joy. Somebody get a hold of some rejoicing tonight. Somebody get a hold of some worship in the house tonight. That's right. Get you a praise circle going. Get you somebody by the hand and have yourself a Holy Ghost time here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Joy.
Now, this is a brief message to acknowledge that you're walking through life just like everybody else. You get rocks in your shoes just like everybody else. The boss gets mad at you just like everybody else. Things go wrong just like everybody else. But Elbow somebody and say, but my promise is bigger than all that.
Joy! Yeah!
Holy Ghost joy!
Joy! Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy!
Joy! Joy!
Joy!
Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy! Joy, joy, joy. He gives me joy. I speak more joy. Yeah.
My God. It's just like the Word of God. The adults were praising and shouting, and the children were in the temple praising and worshiping God. Let me see. I'm not real bright, but I think we're transferring and communicating values. I think we're teaching a value that my promise is bigger than my problems. And they're coming up from this age. They could be contacting on my depression. They could be connecting with my despair. They could be drinking from my cup of bitterness and hopelessness. But they got joy. My God. He gives me joy.
He gives me joy.
He gives me joy.
Joy. Joy. He gives me joy. I speak more joy. 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 He gives me Holy Ghost joy. Holy Ghost joy.
Praise God. In the midst of this, I want you to turn to somebody by you. I want you to lay your hands on them, and I want you to tell them, I've got an anointing in my life and joy in me. I'm going to pray for you, and a blessing is going to come down on you right now. Come on, do it. And I want you to pray for them. Let Holy Ghost flow through your vessel. We're about done, but go ahead. Let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer for somebody tonight. One more thing and we're done. God, there's a Holy Ghost moving this off. I want you to lean over and look down on your neighbor's plate and tell them, you gonna eat that? If you're not gonna eat that, I will. If you don't want that blessing, I want it. If you don't want that joy, I want it. If you don't want that move of God, I want it.
He gives me joy.
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 I'll eat mine and yours too.
He gives me joy. Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Now we're going to move the party next door. There's prayer here tomorrow night. There's a youth Bible study at Smoothie Joe's tomorrow at 7. There's prayer here. What time do y'all pray? 5:30 or 6? 5:30. All right. And apostolic move of God this week. Tell everybody you see God's got something good for them, that you got a promise that's bigger than their trouble. There's flyers in the foyer. Get some and give them out to everybody that you meet. God bless you.